Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Blessed are we in the awakening dawn. Blessed are we in the morning. Blessed are we in the light of the day, as we enjoy the earth turning. Blessed are we as the twilight descends and the magic of dusk is upon us. And blessed are we in the dark of the night as we slip into dreams that are calling.
Around 1500 to 2000 before Common Era, from a sacred song of the dwellers of Asiatic India, we have what is considered to be the first documented account of the making of butter. One of the uses for this horizontally churned butter was as an illumination oil. So, let butter light the way tonight on Green Magic, Green Medicine, with your hostess, the amazing Susan Weed. Join us. We will be right back. Welcome to another edition of Green Magic, Green Medicine, with your hostess, Susan Weed. And I'll bring her on in just a second. I'm Daniel Michael, the founder and co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network. And our topic this evening, continuing our power plant and power food discussion, is butter and what are the magical and or just healing properties of butter, good and bad. Left, right, and sideways, as we believe in balance and synergy here. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Susan Weed on right now. Welcome, Susan.
Green blessings. I'm so glad to be back here with you. I always find my heart smiling as I'm calling your number.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You always find such interesting and fascinating things about the topics that we're looking into. And that little chant that we started off with, who was that? That was amazing.
Oh, that was Kellyanna, who has been on our show before. And I met her in person when she came here live to Sticks and Stones, which is sort of the local New Age shop, if you know what I mean. And, of course, I have a chat room person making fun of me there, but that's okay, because she's a friend. But Kellyanna is a great sort of pagan goddess musician who, when she was in, you know, Avalon, basically, or in Stonehenge, to make a long story short, that's when she discovered she was going to quit everything else and become a musician. She felt like she had to work for the goddess, and that was felt like her calling, and so that's who it is. It was Kellyanna.
All right. Well, I'm so glad I asked.
Mm-hmm.
Because the butter certainly has a lot to do with the goddess and with goddesses and with cows. And one of our most ancient images of the goddess is the cow, who gives us milk, which contains a fat that we call butter fat, and that we turn into a substance that we can use for fuel for our bodies, for light, for a fuel to make light at night, butter lamps, as something that we use as an offering of butter or a butter light, so it's like this all-encompassing, really holistic thing, and yet our culture, like the other three power plants that we've looked at, has this sense of, don't do this, this is bad. This kind of admonitory thing. You know, just before our show together, I have a two-hour blog talk show of my own, and someone called in this evening and was, you know, really castigating herself because she drinks coffee. She actually said, I drink that addictive poison coffee. And I felt very outraged, you know, that she should be so mean to herself about something that, if used wisely and used not as a way to beat ourselves up, is something that can really help. And she was using it very wisely. She said, well, I just don't feel like I can concentrate. And I have, you know, some chronic pain problems, and it really seems to relieve them. And I said, well, those are the properties of coffee, right, as you and I have talked about.
Yeah.
And she's drinking like a quarter cup at a time or half a cup at a time. She's not overdoing it so that she can continue to get the benefit, which is also something we've been talking about as we've been talking about power plants, is that we have people who set them up as bad because of the possibility of overdoing it. And yet, of course, we could pick anything and overdo it and turn it into something that isn't good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal about butter? Well, in general, the deal about butter is that it's a very good source of fat-soluble things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, minerals are not especially fat-soluble. So while we think of milk and yogurt as a good source of minerals, and they are, butter isn't.
Right.
Because butter is the fat. But things that are soluble in fat are going to be more concentrated in the butter, because the butter is the fat, and so that's where those fat-soluble things are going to be. And as you said, both the hooray and the oh no part of it. The hooray part being that butter is a really excellent source of vitamin A, and especially excellent source of vitamin A in cultures where the leading cause of blindness is lack of vitamin A in the diet.
Mm.
So having that butter as an addition to the white rice is something that is a tremendous health boon in the poorest areas of the world. And not only vitamin A, butter is an very rich source of vitamin D and of vitamin E. And we know more and more how important vitamin D is in a huge variety of ways, not just in building strong bones, which we've known for a long time, but also in helping the immune system and in a great many other ways that help us age gracefully and happily. So butter is a fabulous source of the fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin A, vitamin D, and vitamin E. A single 1-ounce serving of butter will give us over 1,000 milligrams of carotenes. And some of the vitamin A in butter is actually vitamin A, but most of it is carotenes, and we can actually see this. I made some goat butter today because I knew I was going to be talking about butter tonight, and I wanted to have my hands in it before I talked about it. And I was actually making cheese. Our refrigerator only holds 6 gallons of milk, and my cheese pot only holds 5 gallons of milk, so we're kind of pushed to make cheese. And I add whey from the previous batch cheese, which acts as a culture for my cheese. And so the whey sits in between times of my making cheese, which can be, at this point in the year, 36 to 48 hours. And this gives enough time for the fat in the milk to rise to the top of the whey, and also because the whey is more watery than the milk, because we've taken the solids out of it, it's easier for the fat to rise in the whey than it is in the milk. It's very hard to get the fat out of the goat milk, but much easier to get it out of the whey. So I just used a little ladle, and I skimmed off the cream from the whey before I added the whey to my cheese that I was making. And I put it in my blender, and I pushed high. And I kind of, you know, I was in the kitchen with it, but you don't have to stand there while your blender is churning your cream into butter. If it had been like winter cream, it would have really turned into like solid little lumps of butter in there, but because the outside temperature is still warm, it got kind of like whipped butter. And at that point, I turned the blender off and I turned it into a colander. And as the butter milk, or in this case the butter whey, dripped out, I helped it along by massaging it very gently with my hands. Because, again, since it was very soft cheese, even the heat from my fingertips melted it. What else is in there, of course, this goat's milk butter contains vitamin A and vitamin D and vitamin E. But what it doesn't contain is any carotenes at all.
Okay.
How can we tell whether or not there are carotenes in butter? Well, we know that carotenes are coloring matter. So carotenes make tomatoes red and sweet potatoes orange and... the kale green. So when the cow eats green plants, which are loaded with carotenes, the cow does a pretty poor job of converting those carotenes into vitamin A. So the cow's milk has many more carotenes in it than vitamin A, and the butter, although it's a good source of vitamin A, is an even better source of the carotenes. I have long been of the opinion that we're missing the mark when we talk about the vitamins as goals. They are processes. So we need to look at the process, not the goal. And the process is that the body takes carotenes and converts them into vitamin A. And I believe that it is the process of the conversion of the carotenes into vitamin A in the body that confers the health benefits, not the product. And that's why when we take supplements, which is the product, we take the product, we don't get the process, and so we don't get the health benefit from taking vitamin supplements that we do from eating foods that contain the raw materials that our bodies make those vitamins out of. Remembering that vitamins are cooperative groups of enzymes. produced by stress. So when an organism, plant or animal, is stressed, we tend to produce these enzymes, these cooperative groups of enzymes called vitamins. The goat is a superb converter of carotenes. The goat converts every bit of carotene in the food that it eats into vitamin A, and thus goat's milk is chalky white, and goat's milk butter is also white. It's even richer than cow's milk butter in vitamin A, but it doesn't have the carotenes. Which is why, in addition to the goat's butter that I make, I also buy cow's butter. I eat a lot of cooked greens, so I get carotenes directly, and a lot of, you know, brightly colored produce, but I like getting it through the butter. I think of cow and the goat, or any milk-producing animal, as being kind of like the goddess of herbalism. It's like they take plants and they turn them into the first herbal medicine, which is called milk.
Hmm.
And then we
right.
can take, right? And then we can take, because milk is the essence of those plants.
Milk is what? And the first thing, you know, that's what babies are fed, you know, from, you know,
right.
they go from the womb and they go to the mother and then they drink milk, you know, and they feed. So it's the first food, it's the first medicine.
Yes, first food, it's the first medicine. And it really is herbal medicine because that milk animal has taken the medicinal plants, the herbaceous plants, and turned them into this food for us. And we have learned to skim off that cream and to churn that cream and to turn that into butter. And you think about how many cultures the creation myth has to do with churning. And the division between the butter and the butter whey, the buttermilk, right? The division between heaven and earth. So butter, you know, it's in a way it's like ordinary thing for us, and yet it's this very amazing esoteric spiritual thing. Now, butter itself isn't as far as you can go. You can go one step further and to someone who's involved with haute cuisine, we would be using clarified butter, and to someone who cooks in Indian style, we'd be using ghee.
Mm-hmm.
The butter that I made, that ball of white goat fat butter that I made, still has some milk solids in it. And that's why it's solid. That's why I could form it into a ball. That's why I could make a solid of it. Granted, I couldn't form it very well because it's very soft. But I could gently heat that. And as I heated it, if you've ever heated butter, you see the milk solids rise to the top. Actually, there's milk solids and milk proteins. And the milk solids rise to the top, and they can be skimmed off. And then the ghee, or the clarified butter, is poured off, leaving behind any protein solids, which are kind of a sediment at the bottom. And butter itself lasts fairly well, although in a hot climate it's going to melt.
Mm-hmm.
But it is actually considered a preserved food, and stays good, retains all of its vitamin content at room temperature for up to a year.
Wow.
So, again, when we put ourselves into a situation where food might be scarce or might be scarce for certain parts of the year, we begin to see the enormous value of having butter and or ghee so that we can preserve those antioxidant vitamins and have that as part of our daily diet. And the fat, of course, although the minerals aren't fat soluble, they need fat in the digestive system at the same time in order to be well digested. And they need both fats and acids. the minerals to be well digested. So having that fat also helps us to pick up minerals from the other foods that we're eating. So that's the wow, isn't that great? Hey, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, fantastic. But what else is fat soluble? Chemicals. Not all of them. There are water soluble chemicals, and there are fat soluble chemicals. And the fat soluble chemicals sometimes can be herbicides or pesticides used in farming. And if a milk-producing animal eats a plant that has been sprayed with pesticide or has grown from land with a fat-soluble herbicide, those things tend to stay around and they tend to be in the plants that the animal eats. And then once those fat-soluble compounds have been ingested, it's very difficult for us to get them out of our body. In fact, there's only a few ways that a mammal can get these persistent organic pollutants, POPs, out of their body, and that is to ejaculate, to ovulate, to lactate, or to cry. So the cow is lactating. And those fat-soluble chemicals are going to be in the butter. So
gotta
this
give the cow a very bad boyfriend. Sorry.
This is a place really
throw lactate cries and does all kinds of horrible things.
Really, really pays to get organic. The organic butter, you know, it's so much more expensive than the other butter, but that's the place where you're really going to save your health, is to get that. Now, as a somewhat interesting sideline, you know, we have been kind of instructed by the food pundits to eat less butter and to have, you know, skim milk or no-fat dairy.
Right.
And many years ago, over 20 years ago, a dairy scientist said to me, yeah, but if you have, you know, no-fat or low-fat dairy, you can't pick up, really digest and pick up the minerals from that, so it's useless to even drink it. So I was always kind of that, but I didn't realize what was going on until I started reading about a new diet created by some Harvard MDs for fertility. And to really crudely and roughly paraphrase what they're saying, more fat in the diet, more fertility, but not too much protein.
Hmm.
So skim milk is the opposite, right?
Right.
It's low fat, high protein, and worse yet, the authors of this book went on to say, skim milk and low fat milk have powdered milk added to it to give it a better mouthfeel.
Good.
Which makes it even higher in protein.
Why do they demand everything?
Right. So upset. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know. This is even allowed? Well, of course it is. It's milk. So it doesn't even need to be listed as an ingredient. But, you know, Sally Fallon and the Weston Price Foundation, these are the kinds of things that they are really against, these kind of dehydrated proteins. And they say that they really mess up things in our bodies. I know I had a friend once when I was just starting to live on the land, and he was like old MacDonald to me. He had everything. He had cows and sheep and goats and horses and ducks and chickens and geese and bees. And, you know, he had a real farm, and it was so great. And like most farmers, of course, he couldn't make a living from his farm. So he worked at the local powdered milk factory.
Mm.
Now, at this point, I was reading one of the few women who were writing about health and nutrition, and that was Adele Davis, Let's Eat Right to get fit. Let's eat right to have healthy children. Let's eat right to be healthy. Wonderful books. However, she did have some hobby horses, and one of them was powdered milk. And she felt that powdered milk should be added to everything, including milk.
Hmm.
When I learned that my friend worked at the powdered milk factory, because we met through, like, farming channels, right? And it took me a while to figure out that he actually had a job and what his job was. And,
right.
So I said to him, you can get powdered milk. Could you, like, get, you know, like 100 pounds of powdered milk for me? And he looked at me and he said, Susan, I can get you as much powdered milk as you want. He says, as a matter of fact, you know, there's stuff that's swept up off the floors that I could bring home and feed to the animals. He said, but I wouldn't feed it to any animal in my care. He said, have you ever been in a hunting cabin where there's been food left, you know, from like one hunting season to the next and there's a box of powdered milk there? I said, well, yeah, I have been in, you know, places that aren't used on a regular basis or that they're used regularly, but there's long times in between their use and seen powdered milk there. He said, have you noticed that even the mice don't eat it? He says, the mice won't eat it, the cockroaches won't eat it. He looked at me and he smiled and he said, are you as smart as a cockroach? And I have to tell you, that was the last time that I ever knowingly ingested powdered milk.
My mom tried to push it for a while, I think just for money reasons, because they were struggling and my father was a construction worker, So she would buy this powder. It was the most awful tasting, it was horrible. It tasted like if you took tin and plastic and combined them, and if that's what it's supposed to taste like. I think it was something like that with a little bit of a rotten, I don't know, it was horrible. I didn't like it at all.
That was the powdered milk that you were served. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically that. That's what I was saying.
It was terrible. I'm so surprised to turn and look and see that our time is almost gone.
Mm-hmm. We got about 3 minutes left.
We've got about 3 minutes, so let me use some of that time to invite people to come on over and visit me at SusanWeed.com. You'll find a wonderful, amazing website built by my daughter. There's over 5,000 pages of free information, plus archived e-zines, photographs, recipes for making things with wild plants. And, of course, that's all ongoing. There's an e-zine that comes out every 7 to 10 days. Lots of new information, teleseminars, all kinds of fun things. My books, I have 5 books out, and you can find those at my Wise Woman Bookshop.com. So come on over to wisewomanbookshop.com and you'll not only find my 5 books, but you'll also find information about my classes, about my correspondence courses, and about where I'm going to be teaching. Let's see, I've made my plane reservations to go down to the Southeast Women's Herbal Conference and teach down there. I think that's coming up in a couple of weeks. I hope to see you all down there. And then I'll be heading in the opposite direction. I'll be heading north up to Toronto for the Ontario Naturopathic Doctors Convention in November. And then I'll be down in Costa Rica doing some work with wonderful plants down in Costa Rica in December. And then in February, I will continue my southern explorations, and I'll be teaching at the Florida School of Natural Healing. And again, you can find out information about all of these things at my website, SusanWeed.com, or by going to the WiseWomanBookshop.com. And I want to thank you once again, Daniel Michael, for all you are doing for all of us by providing your own very interesting and by supporting other interesting voices like mine.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to thank you. And I want to say again, we were talking about butter. I want to make sure that everyone knows that this is Susan Weed on the Major Universe Radio Network. And have a good evening.
Yeah, and I think you should continue with me, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
So next week, part two of butter.
Next week.
I think
butter,
we'll do all.
Part. Okay.
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 Thank you again.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.